Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, folks, this is Rabble Rouser and Rich Bergeron.
It's the Tornado, Tony Seneca.
And we're coming at you wicked late tonight, where the 11 o'clock news instead of the 8 o'clock regular time. We've got about a half an hour to kill. And we're coming at you a little bit later, just for 1 week only. We got a lot of stuff to cover. We've got the UFC Fight Night coming up on Saturday, Bellator 144 tomorrow night. We have Kennedy Golovkin putting out another impressive performance over David Lemieux over last weekend. I didn't even really watch any mixed martial arts or boxing over the weekend. I was too busy working. We didn't have the show last week, so whatever we missed last week, we didn't get to talk about, of course.
That's right. We didn't have a show last week, didn't we? You were chopping trees.
Yeah. I got overwhelmed. So what's new, Tim?
Well, I don't know. well, we had a Golovkin last week. I didn't get to see the fight. I was at a function. I was going to order it when I got home, but I came home and promptly fell asleep. And but he destroyed another fighter, as was expected. Guy's a bad dude, you know?
Right. And I also heard he used a lot of jabs to do it this time. He just basically became a tactician and a technical guy overnight instead of going for the knockout, even though he did eventually get the knockout, TKO. Somebody, actually, the opponent there criticized him. Lemieux criticized him, too, for just using the jab. And somebody on my Facebook page put a comment underneath that statement of his in the headline saying, "Hamburger Face says what?" So I guess that was the fan reaction accentuated there. Bob Arum has got some bad news to deal with. His little lawsuit with Golden Boy and all them against Al Haymon is in trouble. Doesn't look like it's going anywhere. Judge threw out most of the claims. That's a big story this week. I don't know why my computer is taking so long to download this crap. Come on. Anyway, we also have some other news. George St. Pierre talking about coming back to the UFC more and more these days. I know I had some other stuff to talk about. And, of course, we'll be connecting with Psychic Tom in a second now on his lobes. I just had to reset my computer just to start the show, and it was taking forever to load this shit. So what's new in Philadelphia, Tony?
Well, not too much. Just been keeping busy. It's always a good thing. You know, my knee is slowly but surely getting better, so I want to get back into running again. I'm still, you know, doing workouts here and there, but still not at 100%. But slowly but surely getting better.
All right. Well, just connected. Psychic Tom, how's it going?
All right. Yeah.
Tom, I'd like to apologize that I was not able to get you a report last or a preview last week.
Well, I kind of get the feeling it would have looked like what happened. I think all of us were pretty much on the same page there, except I thought that maybe it would be a little more rock'em sock'em, but my God, what a performance. But, you know, it seems like the aftermath of that is, I wonder if Triple G will be one of these guys that will go through his career and never quite get the respect that, you know, from all quarters. I mean, there's, you know, there's still a lot of cynics and critics and, well, who's he fought and that kind of stuff. And, you know, what else can the guy do at this point? You know, I guess he's off to clean out the middleweight division, and then I guess he's going to have to move up in weight to go against Andre Ward. But, I mean, right now, my God, what a clinical destruction. Whew. What else can I add to it?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And you know, I was kind of wondering how Lemieux would react to that, because as you guys know, it's one thing to get knocked out quick, but when there's a sustained beating that just goes on, and I don't think Lemieux won a round, in my opinion. And when this goes on and on and on, that's the kind of fight that can really, I mean, physically I'm sure he'll be okay, but I mean mentally. But he's saying all the right things, said, hey, he was a better man tonight. I'll be back in the future, so we'll see if he can recoup from this. But I think he's got a steep hill if he wants a rematch.
Right. As I was talking about earlier, too, Al Heyman's the lawsuit Top Rank filed against Al Heyman. The judge ruled that Top Rank has not adequately alleged injury to itself, which is not only an element of an antitrust injury, but also of Article III standing. Top Rank alleges that the Heyman defendants engaged in unlawful conduct in the form of exclusionary tie-out contracts, the use of sham promoters, predatory payola practices, and venue blocking. However, as the Heyman defendants point out, Top Rank has failed to allege how it has been injured by the alleged conduct. Indeed, it has not identified a single bout that it has attempted to promote but was precluded from promoting by the Heyman defendants, or a single venue from which it has been blocked, or a single network that has refused to broadcast a fight promoted by Top Rank. But Top Rank does correctly argue that the competitors who are frozen out of the market by an antitrust violation have suffered antitrust injury and possess antitrust standing. But there's no facts, basically, they're saying, to show that they have been frozen out. And, of course, the other side of this issue with the Premier Boxing Champions is now they have an investigation into a boxer who was put in a coma in their latest installment last week. So
that was last Saturday. I caught the last few rounds of that, and I had seen Pritchard Colon fight a few times. He was a good fighter, and I caught the last few rounds of it, and you know, I haven't got an update in a few days on his prognosis. And, of course, we're all praying for, you know, a healthy and speedy and complete recovery. But one of the things that his corner did, and hopefully will have ended up saving his life, was Pritchard got hurt pretty bad. It was a 10-round fight. He got hurt pretty bad in the ninth round. And he went down, and, you know, he got up, and he was in pretty bad shape. He got knocked down again, and he was really staggered. The bell rang, basically saving him. He goes back to the corner. There's one more round to go, and his corner started taking his gloves off. Now, his opponent sat down, you know, getting ready for the 10th round. Pritchard Colon was standing in his corner. The corner started taking the gloves off, thinking that was the 10th round, and the fight was over. Now, were they doing that, or were they, you know, maybe trying to buy their fighter some more time, like, oh, I thought it was the 10th round, and then taking a few minutes to re-glove them and re-tape them, and then hopefully buying him enough time to survive? The commission did the right thing. They disqualified him, you know, for, you know, removing his gloves, and the fight went on down as a disqualification. After that, he went back to the dressing room, and that's where he collapsed. And, you know, and then they rushed him in, and he underwent emergency surgery.
Well, there was also some criticism, too, of the another PBC event led by Anthony Peterson.
Yeah.
And basically they're saying that it was a dud all around. This is the Washington Times put out a story on this, talking about Anthony Peterson, his own criticism, too, of the whole thing. He put down Mike Oliver, actually one of John Scully's old fighters.
Yeah.
Just took him one round earlier in the night. He landed a hard body shot and then grazed Oliver on the head. And Oliver just went to his knees, waited for the 10 count, and as this writer says, walked away with a paycheck and booze from the sparse crowd. It was boxing larceny, but it would hardly be the only or worst crime of the day.
Okay, Rich, you said he walked away with booze or booze, which?
A paycheck.
Okay, I thought like they're drenching him with beer or something. Okay, never mind.
But he probably did have some booze later on.
Yeah.
But Peterson said, I don't know if it was enough to put him down, but it was enough to keep him from getting up.
Now, there's a quote. There's a quote we need to frame. Yeah, I'm going to remember that one.
Also had a pretty interesting comment. It's boxing. I don't know why people call it a sport. It's not a sport. This is like organized crime. Where else in the history of sports will you see people around the ring and people beating the crap out of each other? So that's kind of interesting take on the whole thing. And then I think they talk about Pritchard Cologne. This is the same exact event from Saturday. He was taken from the arena on a stretcher to the hospital where he reportedly underwent surgery Saturday afternoon for bleeding on the brain. And as of Sunday, he was listed in critical condition. I haven't heard anything about his condition being downgraded or anything, but I also haven't heard any good stuff, so I don't know where it stands. But yeah, he was knocked down twice in the ninth round, and then the second time was just before the end of the round. And as Tony said, there was so much confusion, they weren't really throwing in the towel, but they clearly thought that it was the 10th round, not the 9th.
Or they may have made it seem like they thought it was the 10th round and they were just trying to buy him a few extra seconds.
Right. Now, this is a funny thing. Maybe they didn't know it was the round end because there were no ring card girls, according to this writer.
That's a terrible thing. They should always have ring card girls.
Right.
Jorge Paez would have thrown a fit.
He says, how hard can it be to find some exotic dancers in Fairfax?
Yeah, I agree. I will tell you one thing. It reminded me of a fight about 15 years ago, and we were at a it was a sports bar not far from where I lived at the time, and we had gone there on a it was a Friday night I believe, because we thought they were going to have Mike Tyson Andrew Gallata fight, and so we went there and they weren't going to have it. But we ended up watching an ESPN card. And I forget the name of the fighter that lived. It's more than the way it sounds. But I remember the young kid that passed away. He was an Italian kid. And his name was Bobby Tomasello. And I remember the fight was going on, and Bobby was doing real well early. And he was a little bit over his head in this fight. But he was a young kid. He might only have one loss at the time, but he was a prospect. Tough little bugger. And you could see him really starting to get fatigued over the second half of the fight. And the guy he was fighting, I don't know if the guy was maybe from Africa, maybe like Ghana or Nigeria or somewhere like that. But he really started working Bobby over, especially around the 7th, 8th, and 9th rounds. And the 10th round, the corner never should have let him out. And it just kind of reminded me, that was just the feeling I was getting watching that fight. And not a good feeling, by the way. And I remember Bobby somehow lasted the distance, ill-advised, lasted the distance. And they ended up, going to the cards. It was a highly disputed draw. Obviously, the African fighter definitely won the fight. And then Bobby slipped into a coma, and he did pass away. I remember it because I remember watching it with my dad. And then a week or so later, breaking the news on me, that kid died.
That's wild. Yeah, so hopefully Pritchard pulls through. A couple other fighters who are not taking the chance of getting in the ring again after this weekend. Soa Pelele, who we were supposed to interview way back, we just couldn't get the time difference down between here.
I remember him.
He just retired from the UFC. I mean, he was at the highest level of the sport and just had a couple fights and just retired. Rick Hahn, also a Bellator veteran, announced his retirement on Monday. Says, after giving it a lot of thought, I probably just had the best fight of my career a few weeks ago, winning the lightweight title for Titan. It's been a long road. You've been around and seen me years ago in Bellator. I'm 39 years old, he said. It's time to hang it up. Well, hopefully I'm saying that too when I'm 39. Going out on top, holding the belt, yeah.
Right.
Amateur belt, maybe. But yeah, he says, I'm not a young kid anymore. Hey, shut up. It's a hard sport. I'm going out on my own terms. My big announcement is I'm retiring from MMA. So he's out. Here's a new one. There's a couple things on MMA judging and rules we got to talk about. First and foremost here, New Jersey is testing in their commission soundproof MMA judging. And obviously they've been pretty well known for their commission work there in New Jersey. They've had some good people. They've had some bad people. But this article claims that they've been at the forefront of the sports regulation of 2001 when they helped establish the unified rules of mixed martial arts. But now they're launching a new one. MMA Junkie is reporting that the Cage Fury Fighting Championship card on Halloween night in Atlantic City will test out judges in soundproof isolated rooms. Sort of like, the Pawn Star show, pornography. They've got to go in a room with the freaking headphones on so they can't hear the questions given to the other guy. You know, they have it in boxing, I guess. But the judges will be watching on muted monitors. They won't be the official judges for the scorecards, though. The regular cage side judges will handle that as they always would. This is just an experiment to compare the scorecards. And the exact statement on this is, this agency has been pleased with both the quality of judging and our judging roster in the state, but we recently have wondered about the effects of blocked views, limited angles, sight distance, and to a small degree, crowd noise. Technological advances and skilled camera technicians can now offer the viewing fan base a closer, clearer, and more precise visual of the action at hand as compared to what the judge sees cage side. It is noteworthy that promotional executives and event broadcasters sitting cage side frequently view a table monitor as much or more than they view the live action itself. So, see how that works out. And another rules story. Guess who is going to be developing the new unified rules for mixed martial arts?
Our former guest.
Yeah, he's been named to be part of the commission that's going to study that. For the Kansas Athletic Commission, he's actually just named chairman of an MMA rules committee there, tasked with making recommendations on rule changes to the Association of Boxing Commission. And one of the things he's going to look at, he says, is the 12-6 elbow. So that's part of it. The committee is actually going to consist of 10 members, 3 former fighters, Randy Couture, Matthews, and Jeremy Horn, 3 referees, 2 state athletic commission members, and 1 ringside physician. Wheelock says, the fact that you can throw an elbow from 11:30 to 5:30, but not 12 to 6, just adds confusion. It's not making the sport safer. That's something, and I'm speaking for myself here, that we need to get rid of.
I agree.
Heel strikes to the kidney. He says, have you ever seen anyone stopped by heel strikes to the kidney? They're an irritant, but what do they really do? If you're in top position and you don't like taking heel strikes to the kidney, move. Just like you don't like someone hitting you with elbows from off their back. Just doesn't add to fighter safety. Also, the definition of back of the head strikes. I think we very much need to clarify what constitutes as back of the head. You hear the phrases Mohawk script, crown of the head to the top of the spine, headphones, even referees will sometimes give different definitions. Definition of a downed fighter is pretty sketchy. There's been some changes on that with the fingertips on the canvas. They could be deemed up if they're just doing it purposely. The referee can say, no, that's okay, you can hit him. So I don't know if that held or if that was just experimented with, what the story was with that, but I think that they were looking at changing that, but they never went full bore on that. And there's also a medical committee to review weight cutting, but one thing that they're going to look at is should there be a cruiserweight division? Should there be additional weight classes? And why do we cap heavyweights at 165 pounds when boxing doesn't? So, fence grabs. They're also looking at that. Needs to be cleaned up, according to Lulak.
Well, I would sincerely hope that they would take our recommendation that Tony so astutely recommended here about let's have the weigh-in the day before the fight, but have a limit on what you can weigh the day of the fight. That's all. I can't think of anything better.
And then tomorrow night, we also have Bellator 144 coming up, Mohegan Sun. Brandon Halsey headlining against Rafael Carvalho. Halsey's 9-0. Carvalho is 11-1 there. Brennan Ward also in action. He's 11-3, fighting Dennis Olsen, who's 14-9. Michael Page making a quick turnaround from his last fight. He's 8-0, fighting Charlie Ontiveros, who's 6-3. Isao Kobayashi is also in action. He's 18-2-4, fighting Yamauchi, who's 18-2. And we won't go through the rest of them because we still got to get to UFC Fight Night 76. That's headlined by Patrick Holohan and Louis Smolka. They were just elevated to the main event due to another fight that was canceled. Holohan is 12-1-1. Smolka is 9-1. And we have Norman Park, 20 wins, 4 losses, 1 draw, fighting Riza Madadi, who's 13-3. Nicholas Dalton, 15-0, fighting Darren Till, who's 13-0. Neil Seary, 15-11, fighting John De Los Reyes, who's 8-4. Stephen Ray, 18-5, fighting Mikhail Labuch, who is 14-4-1. And we have a female fight between Aisling Daly, 15-6, fighting Erica Almeida, who's 7-1. And we won't go over the rest of them. But this is in Dublin. It's a big card. I must have been an injury. Somebody got injured the last second there, I think.
Joseph Duffy, the guy who was the last one to beat Conor O'Grady. Joseph Duffy was injured. He was supposed to fight Dustin Poirier. So, kind of wrecked the card.
Not going to happen there. We have plenty of other stuff this weekend. I know we don't really get to talk a lot of upcoming boxing, but I'm sure there's enough boxing and MMA for everybody to watch this weekend and for us to talk about next week on a full show.
After sounds good.
2 weeks of mini breaks here. One full break and one mini break today. Also wanted to mention I'm taking some stuff called Pronabolin. Just got it in the mail today. Took it for the first time. And I'm supposed to be writing a blog about it for the website and reporting back on my findings. I'll tell you, I took some tonight, and I was yawning right around the time I took the caplets, and I'm wide awake right now, I'll tell you.
Whoa.
That was a few hours ago. It's good stuff. It definitely hits you. It's got a lot of good stuff in. I'm looking at the supplement facts on the back right now, and it's got a whole blend for digestion, 250 milligrams of different stuff. It's got milk thistle, alpha lipoic acid, all kinds of crazy stuff I've never even heard of, but it's supposed to be a testosterone booster, is what they're calling it. So, but there's no, it doesn't look like there's any actual testosterone in it. So I don't know how they're making that claim, but anyway, it definitely feels like it's doing something good, so we'll see how it works after 90 days supply they gave me. I'm supposed to take 3 of these big horse caplets a day.
Wow.
So we'll see how that works, and I'll give you guys an update next week.
Cool.
All right.
And if we get some more free samples, I'll be sure to pass some your way.
Okay.
So until next week, we will have a guest next week. We will definitely be on the ball with a full 2-hour show, and we'll definitely have way more to talk about, I'm sure.
Sounds great. All right. Well, gentlemen, until next week.
All right, guys. Over and out. Bye.